Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, my voice does sound a little better, right? Still a little nasal, though. But at least I'm not struggling anymore. Last 2 weeks, I was putting a lot of effort in. People say, well, what effort is it to talk? But it was. All right, are we ready? I am. Ready to go? Reg? Good. 302. Episode 302. 302. Not O. It's not an O. It's a zero. O is a letter. Zero is a number. 302. 302 is the correct way to say it. Not 302. It's 302. That's the way we're supposed to say it. You know I'm a stickler. Okay, we ready? I'll give you the countdown. I'll give you the three S's and then the countdown, and you give me the music, and then I'll give you a podcast. All right? Very good, sir. All right, here we go. Ready? Star, smile, strong. And here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Hold on a second. No, I didn't like that. My voice kind of tailed at the end there. Here we go. Ready? Do it again. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, it's your job to get out there and spread the word. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell anybody who listens to podcasts that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. That loyalty, that devotion, that tenaciousness, much appreciated. And of course, if you like what you hear, don't forget, go to WGNradio.com, hit the prompt for this podcast, and you will find all previous 301 podcast just sitting there waiting for you to listen to, waiting for you to gorge upon, waiting for you to binge. As I always say, go back and listen to where we were so you'll get a little hint as to where we may be going. Always try to keep this as a dialogue between us, and so it always pays to know what I've been talking about before, so what we can be talking about today, which actually might come into play as we begin episode number 302. I've been talking, as everyone, I would assume, in the world, how many times can you say that, right? That there is a topic that is so big, that is so universal, that is so relatable, that touches everyone's life on this planet. There are not many topics that have reached that kind of saturation point. I mean, how many have there been? This is one of them. I don't know if there are others, to be honest, at least in my lifetime. I suppose a world war. I wasn't around for World War I or World War II. I mean, perhaps that was on everyone's mind, especially after December 7th, 1941, when the United States entered, because then literally we were sort of the last big shoe to drop in that. You know, people forget we were not involved in World War II for a while. At that time, America was still very isolationist, and we felt very burned and unfulfilled and aghast at what was going on during World War I. Once again, a war that started in Europe. And America in the early 1900s for World War I, and even in the mid-1900s for World War II, still relatively a new country. You say, well, I mean, Jim, it was almost, you know, it was more than 100 years old. That's not nothing. That's nothing. That's not a lot for a country. Even today, as we start to talk, we're getting close to 250 years of our existence from 1776 in a few years. About 4 years, we will be at 250. And that's nothing in the grand scheme of history. Oh my gosh, it's a blip. If you look at some of the great dynasties and empires of through history, they were ruling and they were dominant in the world for 500 years, for 1,000 years, 250. What are we at? 240. We're not even there yet, right? 245. We're not even there yet. Well, not 245, right? We're at 244, almost 245, right? 76. I have to do math in my head now. This year will be 246. So right now we're at 245. So yeah, I mean, that's impressive. But if you ever go to Italy or Greece, I've been to both, and I can tell you that what is mystifying and just not even mystifying, it is mystifying because you can't believe that man has been around this long, but what is just off, it's just mesmerizing, I guess might be the word. You see these structures, the Forum and the Acropolis and things like this and these in these countries that have these ancient histories. And, you realize that, here we in the United States, we're all happy. We're all proud. Oh, we've been around for almost 250 years. And, in Italy or in Greece, if there's a stone or an artifact or something from a previous, civilization there that's 250 years old, they've got so much history that dates back before Christ, before the Gregorian calendar, that they throw rocks and statues away that are only 250 years old. What are we going to do with that? I mean, we've got stuff here that's several thousand, 250. Put it in the stack, put it in the pile. We won't throw it away. We'll put it in that pile there. But I mean, that's we found it. It's nice. It's proof of something. But we're not going to show it off in a museum at 250 years old. What's that? And here in the United States, we're all, whoa, 250. Wow. We got a while to go here. We've had a good run, but even at the beginning, our country and our democracy was far from well-established in our early days. There were many wars that went on after the Revolutionary War that threatened us from other countries, both at our borders, like the Mexican, the Mexican American War and War of 1812 and things like that. We were far from not untouchable. We were a fledgling new country. We as dominant as we are economically, look at what we're talking about today. We're talking about democracy being at risk. You'd think that after 254 years, or 256 now, almost, that we'd have this thing down. And no, we were feeling pressure from around the world. So 250 years is impressive. But and believe me, I'm sure that when that happens, and I was around for the bicentennial, our 200th birthday, and I'm sure that there will be a lot of flag waving and a lot of patriotism you know, in 2026. And if you're old enough, you remember that for like a year and a half before that, at least a year, there the celebrations were already beginning. And one of the more popular additions to the pop culture as we were running up to our bicentennial, our 200th birthday in 1976 was something on CBS called the Bicentennial Minute. And I have to say it was a pretty ambitious and I think worthwhile program. It was called the Bicentennial Minute. And it was on usually, I believe, if I remember correctly, I'm just going off by my memory now, it was on just before the evening programming started. So say in New York, like 8 o'clock here in Central in the Chicago area, at 7 o'clock before the evening slate of shows started, there was the Bicentennial Minute. And it usually featured a historian or a celebrity or some well-known person of note, and they would recall something that happened either on that exact day or around that time leading up to the American Revolution. And it was actually an ambitious project because the goal was to educate the country, to say, you know, not only we should be getting ready for this 200th birthday, which we want to celebrate, but we also should know more about our country's history. There's much more to know than we've just been learning in school. And we've been hearing about the way history has been manipulated over the decades in terms of importance or emphasis on what we're taught in schools. And there's a lot of history that's happened in this country and even around this world that we don't even know about, that doesn't even get covered. And we wind up graduating from school and being done with that. And then we get to be older and we find out that there's all these other things that happened that we were never taught about. So I thought it was an interesting concept. It became kind of a joke, too, the Bicentennial. You know, people would do parodies on it. But when I look back in retrospect, it was kind of a cool idea. It was certainly a progressive idea to educate the American people, to educate the American public and maybe other people around the world who are watching it, as to the events that led to the revolution and the birth of this country. And I would hope that, you know, as there would be some, I think there would be some jokes about it, but I think it would be a great idea as it gets close again. I'm not sure how many years out. I think it was either 1 or 2 years before. And so you got used to it every day. There was another Bicentennial Minute before the programming started. And it was just a minute of concise information about something that happened, an event, or somebody was born, or, you know, who would later go on to something of importance. But obviously a lot of work and a lot of research went into this. And I remember watching them, and you'd watch them every day out of, you know, if you watch CBS, it was on. And, you know, there, as I said before, there were celebrities and things. And sometimes, I mean, I don't remember what I learned specifically from that, but I know that I used to watch them and kind of look forward to them. They became they were on for so long, at least a couple of years, a year and a half or so, that you just got used to them and they became part of the programming. And it was this nice little minute-long history class that was digestible. And sometimes these stories were, and the people and the events were a lot more interesting than others, but it was, I would assume, I was a young kid at the time, but I would assume it was fairly comprehensive. I would suggest they do that again, because my gosh, do we need help in the history department here in today's society? If you think people didn't know about history in 1974, 75, leading up to 1976, in 2022, We consider history now something that happened 5 years ago. Forget 200 years ago or 1,000 years ago. Oh, or 50. Nobody knows anything about what happened over the last, if it didn't happen in the last 20 minutes. So I am coming out right now here in 2022 to say, I hope there's going to be, it's not going to be a bicentennial minute. I'm not sure what, I have to look this up. This is off the top of my head, so I apologize. I don't know what 250 is called. Bicentennial is obviously 200. Tricentennial is 300. I'm not sure what the official term is for 250, but whatever it is, I would say bring back that minute again, especially in today's world with all the, you know, all the options and all the access and all the platforms. Somebody out there, whether it's on regular television or whether it's on an app or whether it's on a website, someone should be putting together right now. And you say, Jim, then why don't you do it? Maybe I should, right? I give all these other great ideas out. I should do it myself, right? But I liked the Bicentennial Minute, and I hope that we have that same kind of thing as we gear up toward our 250th birthday in about 4 years. So, anyway, I got on that topic, and I promise I will always circle back talking about how are there any topics in history that have affected so many people. And then I started about World War II. Wow, I don't know how I got on the Bicentennial Minute. Holy smokes. But that's why you love this podcast. Just grab my hand. I will take you by the hand and lead you down. I've got a path I'm going down. Trust me. Sometimes we just take a few little detours, but I will always make sure that those detours are worth getting off that main path. And we will find our way back. I always leave crumbs. I always drop some breadcrumbs just to make sure. But yes, the Bicentennial Minute, if you never heard about it, look it up. And I hope that we have a 250th birthday minute, or whatever the official term for the 250th birthday will be. I'll have to look that up too. But back to my original point, I don't know what I want to talk about today is I don't know if there's any topic that is as prevalent around the globe. There is one. There may be several others that may have happened. But right now there is one, and that is, of course, COVID. And but I'm not going to get on a soapbox today. I'm not going to tell you about wearing masks or not wearing masks or what we should do or what we shouldn't do. I mean, that's been done to death. We've talked about it. We are now inching up now. In fact, this podcast will be posted. I'm recording it a couple days before, but this podcast will be posted on March 7th. So next week, we will have reached the 2-year mark of this pandemic, of us dealing with it in a serious way, because I believe March 11th, I believe it was March 12th, when everything really shut down, almost on that day, everything just, the dominoes fell, if you remember. That's 2 years ago, and we're still not out of the woods. I know we're acting like we are, and all these mask mandates are being lifted, and we're you know, pounding our chest about how hospitalizations are down and new cases are down, and we're all talking about how you know, we can start to begin to get back to normal again. And I've talked about what normal is and if there really will be a normal anymore, and whatever normal that we begin to follow when this pandemic does end, it will not be the same normal of 2 years ago. It can't be. We've been dealing with abnormal for too long. We've already changed our routines, and we don't even realize how much it is. So there will be normal, but it will not be the same as it was prior to March 12th, 2020. But we are, I think one of the reasons that we are going about this in a more, at least officially now from the government, from the president on down, recently gave a State of the Union speech. We're seeing governors around the country lifting these mandates. Everybody's talking about how all these the statistics are going down in terms of new infections and things like that. And so I think one of the main drivers for that is not only the fatigue that we've had as we reached our second anniversary of dealing with COVID, which many thought this virus and whatever we had to do to deal with it was going to be over within months. Remember that? We thought it was going to be over in months. Let's say mid-March. If you remember, President Trump said it would be gone by Easter of that year. Easter, like a month later. That was his initial prediction. So this is certainly gone longer than a lot of people have thought, and certainly longer than most people have wanted. There is a lot of fatigue, and it seems like people have just given up. And I believe one of the reasons why these mask mandates are being lifted, certainly we've done this before. We've talked about last year in May, the president said, take off your mask, which I believe led to the surge that we had in the summer, and then probably which led to the surge that we had in the winter. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed on this latest one of take off your masks. But at the same time, I'm taking side bets here as to when the next surge will happen. And so far, since we're doing it in March, a little earlier than last year, that I'm going to say, I'm taking July. I'm taking July or early August. Last year was about late August, early September when the surge started again. I'm going to say maybe mid-July, maybe a 4th of July, maybe after the 4th of July picnics especially, right? But yeah, I mean, this I know everybody's been vaccinated, and I know that we're saying that things are getting better, but we've seen the way this virus acts. So I hope I'm wrong. I've been wrong for 2 years now almost, but sadly I haven't. And this virus will continue to do what it wants to do until we get serious. And I just think that the majority of these mask mandates that are being lifted for one reason. We have an election coming up in November. And a lot of governors and a lot of congressmen, senators and representatives are going up for re-election. And they know that the body politic is getting tired and businesses are anxious to get rid of all these mask mandates. And they want to make sure now that, the public has a very short memory. So even those who were the most staunch mask mandators over the last 2 years, they are either up for re-election or they're worried about their party in the upcoming midterm elections. And so suddenly everybody's tune is changing and all the mask mandates are leaving. And suddenly there is this kind of, even the president in his State of the Union talked about test and treat. That's the new phrase. Before, we were worried about detection and lockdowns. And now we are talking about testing and treating and how we can go on and, live with this to some extent. Although the president said in his State of the Union that he doesn't believe that we should be living with it. We want to eradicate it. But I guess the path to elimination is initially living with it and treating it and testing for it. But that seems to be until and if, and there's an if, even though I'm taking side bets on when, I think it's more when than if, but I'm going to be optimistic with everyone else here. But if there is another surge, then the way to, I guess that's the way we're looking at it. CDC, the World Health Organization, everybody seems to be, at least at this point, pushing forward a more optimistic message and view that the pandemic is finally ending. We have heard that many times. We've had, four, five, six surges? And we've always had this idea of a post-pandemic world, and then we have been slapped in the face again. I know that a lot of people are boosted. I know a lot of people are vaccinated, but everybody isn't, especially around the world. And this virus has proven to be very resilient. So I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be realistic. And sometimes realism gets in the way of optimism. But realism usually is what happens. So fingers crossed. The president has said, take off your masks. He said that in May. That didn't work. He's saying it again in March. We'll see. I hope he's right. The reason I am a little skeptical about this latest optimism is because not only have we seen in the past, and we have told been told this by medical experts, that even if you are vaccinated, even if you are boosted, this Omicron variant is very contagious. May not be as serious in terms of its symptoms, but certainly is much more infectious than the original Delta version of COVID that we were dealing with 2 years ago. And I say that, and I believe that, and I'll tell you why I believe that. If you've been listening to this podcast over the last 2 weeks, you have heard that my voice, and I'm still not 100% in terms of my instrument being at its optimum levels. But if you've listened today, I think you can, I'm still a little nasal. You can hear that. I can hear it at least. But if you listened over the last 2 weeks, especially 2 weeks ago, ironically, on my 300th episode, right? The one that is going to go down in history, right? I don't know if that's true. My voice was really hoarse and raspy, and I was struggling. And I got through it, but if you listen to that, it was, a lot of people think it's easy to talk, but it isn't when your voice is strained. And even last week was a little better than the week before, but not perfect. And even this week, 3 weeks later, still not completely, but certainly I feel stronger. There's no question about that. But I do, I can feel a little nasal, and I've been blowing my nose a little, but not as much as I had been. So hopefully by next week, this is all gone. But I believe that the stories about the contagiousness of the Omicron, regardless of your vaccination status, is true. Because if you remember, if you listened, and that's why I always say, go back and listen to previous podcasts, and you can go very easy here. If you want to, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back to number 300 and listen to my voice, and 301 of last week, and you'll hear it. But on my 300th episode, I was apologizing for the quality of my voice, but once again, it was my 300th episode, and I didn't want to miss one. I haven't missed one. So since I've been doing this, since May of 2016, I wasn't about to miss number 300. So I battled through it. But if you remember, if you listen, and if you don't remember, go back and listen. I mentioned to you at that time that, yes, although my voice is very hoarse, and I am straining, and I seem to have a little of a sore throat, I have tested for COVID, and I am negative. That's what I said, because I just did test the day before that. I tested, I recorded that podcast on the Wednesday of the week before. So I would think that, let's see, that was the 13th, was a Sunday, so Monday was, Valentine's Day was Monday, the 14th. So I tested on February 15th, and I recorded the podcast, I'm talking about number 300, on February 16th, a Wednesday. So I tested myself on Tuesday because I was feeling a little tickle in my throat. I had no fever, but I was feeling that my throat was getting maybe a little sore, and I felt a little hoarseness. Now, as I said, I think before too, I had just finished a play, and I was projecting quite a bit over the, you know, over not only over the last couple of months for rehearsal, but certainly the week leading up to that, as we were in our final rehearsals for the week and in the theater. So I was pushing my voice a little more to project, to fill the room, and then just got through on that Sunday with the third show, the last, we only did three shows of that run. And so obviously, you know, was speaking loud. And I've had that before, where I've gotten laryngitis or a hoarse voice after doing a play for a while, just because you are taxing that, your voice. From, you know, with no microphones, you are, you know, you are projecting what your voice is to the room. You have to do it or people can't hear you. So I did take a test, because apparently also, from what we the next day after the play ended on the 13th of February, the next morning I woke up and there was an app that we had that we could send messages to for everybody involved in the play, the news or updates or just, you know, conversing with each other in the cast and the crew. And a couple of people sent a message that on Monday, the day after the play ended, that they were not feeling well, that they had a fever, that they had a sore throat, that they were very tired, and that they were going to take, and they believed that they may have COVID, and that they were going to take a rapid test to find out. And two of them initially came back, you know, within hours and said, I just tested positive, so you might want to test. And so I did that on Monday, and then I did another one on Tuesday, and I was negative for both. So I was fairly confident that I was COVID-free. And ultimately, as the weeks went on, about a week and a half went, I believe about six or seven people that were associated with the play, mostly the actors, did wind up getting COVID. Nothing serious. No one was hospitalized, but they did get COVID, about six or seven people. So I felt like I was lucky. And as I said, you know, we did not have our masks on during the show. We were supposed to have our masks on as soon as we got off stage. You're supposed to put your mask back on. But there were some people that were not wearing masks, especially here in close quarters. You're going to go off stage and go right back on. You don't put the mask on for 2 seconds. There were people in the dressing room. You're putting makeup on. You got to take your mask off, right? So there was a lot of exposure. I think most people did try to adhere to the mask on, mask off kind of, you know, protocol that we were trying to follow. But at the same time, it was almost impossible. And there were 30 people in the group. And so obviously, you know, we weren't living in a bubble. People were going home. People were interacting with people around anywhere, right? So who knows? But obviously, COVID was introduced in that situation. And, you know, once again, it's insidious. You have no way of knowing. And I find it interesting that it was on the day after the play where people started to, I don't know if they were feeling that way a couple of days before and didn't say anything, because they didn't want to let everybody down and because they would have to pull out of the show. What do you do? So I don't know what the circumstances were, but it was interesting. I didn't go, but there was an after party. And one of the reasons I didn't go is just because I just wanted to get away. I mean, it's like, you know, I was like, okay, I had my mask off enough on stage with people, and I didn't, and I saw people going to that party where they're not going to wear their masks. So, and I think, as I said, I think we have been, especially as the surge ended over the last couple of weeks, you know, people again started to let down their guard. We're hearing people, okay, the surge is over, the fatigue setting in. So there was a lot of, you know, and everybody's, oh, I've been boosted and double vax. So there was a little false sense of security. So I saw a lot of masks, you know, people half mask, half off. And so I just felt like, you know, I didn't feel comfortable. So anyway, I took the two rapid tests on the Monday and Tuesday, and I was negative. So I was fairly confident that I had dodged a bullet, but I did. And as you can hear on episode 300, I had a very, serious laryngitis. And my throat was really hurting by the end of Wednesday and then Thursday, and even into Thursday night especially, was really tough. I woke up in the middle of the night. I mean, it hurt so bad that when I was swallowing, my throat was so raw, I guess. I don't know that, and maybe it wasn't raw. I don't know. It hurt so much that when I was swallowing, my ears were hurting just because of all the muscles involved. As I said, I think before, ear, nose, and throat, right? And I was doing all the homemade, I was using Halls, lozenges, for a sore throat, and I was gargling with salt water, and I was, I had tea with honey in it, so I was doing all these things, and I even put a hot compress on my throat overnight, which actually seemed to help as well. And ironically, on that Friday, it was gone. So Wednesday when I recorded was really tough. I still was kind of clogged and I still was kind of hoarse, but the pain of my throat was gone. And so and as I said before, I've had especially during or especially after I've done plays and things, I've had some laryngitis and some sore throat just because you are taxing that and you are kind of running yourself down, your immune system, with all the rehearsals and all the stuff that goes on with that and the pressures of it. So really for like 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, I had a really serious sore throat and laryngitis. But by Friday, it went away. And I was like, okay, well, I guess this worked. You know, it's fine. And I felt fine. Never had a fever. Never had any kind of shortness of breath. Never had any chest pains or anything. I just had this sore throat, which to me made sense because I just was taxing my voice. And so on we went, right? And, nothing to worry about there. And then my wife got started to get a little sick. So I just said, you know what? I think I even mentioned to you about masks in my last episode saying that I think masks work because here I hadn't caught a cold for 2 years and here I had caught a cold. I assumed I tested negative twice for COVID and then the sore throat and went away in a couple of days. I was still a little clogged and congested, but I didn't ever had a fever. So I just figured, hey, you know what? These masks must work because when I took them off, even for a couple of 3 days around some people, I caught a cold. And that was my view. And then a couple of days after, my wife said, you know, I think I caught your cold now. and she was not feeling well. And so she was starting to feel, and it started to linger, and she started to feel like a sore throat, and she felt really tired. And I never had that. Even when I had the sore throat, I wasn't lethargic. I just had this sore throat, which I've had in the past. And a little congested. So these were symptoms that I had had before. I wasn't feeling the usual kind of COVID symptoms. So I assumed I had, sore throat and a little cold. And I was working a lot and, my immune system may have been down because of the long rehearsals leading up to the show, blah, blah, blah. But my wife really seemed to begin, she was sore throat. No fever, but sore throat, feeling congested, feeling a little in the chest and being very tired. In fact, being a little foggy. So I said, I think you might want to take a test because you seem to have those symptoms. And once again, I'm symptom free. I'm not feeling anything at this point. I had these 2 days of the sore throat and it went away completely, and I felt fine. So lo and behold, and then, of course, I went out of town. I was talking to her on the phone. She said, I really don't feel well. I went out of town. I went to see a couple more Elton shows in New York. And so I felt fine. And I went, And but she was not feeling well. So I said, you know, you should probably take a test. And so she took a test, and she called me up a little later in the day, and she said, it's positive. I just tested positive for COVID. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Because we have been very diligent. I have been talking about that for 2 years, how diligent we have been. And so it was ironic that she would catch this in a time now when the infection rates have been going down. She didn't get this over Christmas or New Year's or even, you know, throughout January when the numbers were spiking. She gets it now in mid to late February when everything was starting to slow down. And she really hasn't been going out. She did go out to the grocery store the day before she didn't feel good. On that Saturday, she went to the grocery store, and who knows? Once again, even though she was wearing a mask, two masks, it's everywhere. And like I said before about the contagiousness of this. So who knows when she got this? But I was feeling fine. My sore throat was almost a week away. It was gone already. Still a little congested in my nose, but I just felt, well, it's the, you know, the remnants of this cold that I had. No big deal. So I was out of town on Tuesday and Wednesday, and she took, I'm trying to remember if she took the test on Tuesday or Wednesday, but I was out of town, and so I'm coming back on Thursday now. And I'm like, well, I better take a test just to be safe because she wasn't feeling good on Sunday. And I was still there on Sunday and Monday. Even though I'm feeling no symptoms whatsoever at all, felt fine. You never know, right? Now, I've always been very honest with you guys. I will say that when I was at the Elton John concert in Madison Square Garden, right, 20,000 people there, it was an interesting protocol for Madison Square Garden. You needed to show your vaccination, your proof of vaccination, but wearing a mask was not mandatory. So in their view, you have to show that you've been triple vaxxed or double vaxxed, in my case, triple vaxxed with the booster. But then when you were in arena, you know, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, 20,000 people screaming, singing, you didn't have to wear a mask, which I thought was a little odd. I did wear my mask the majority of the time, but I did have it down at times. And so, and to be honest and fair, even when I saw Elton on February 4th and 5th and February 8th, same deals. You had to get in with, you know, proof of your vaccination, and you were supposed to be wearing your mask, but once the lights went down, most people took their masks off. And once again, I didn't have my mask off the whole time, but I did take it off at times, and I probably shouldn't have. But I was feeling a little emboldened with the fact that, you know, the numbers had been decreasing, that I did have these vaccinations, and I don't know if it was peer pressure or just the excitement of the concert, but I did have my mask off, and all it takes is 1 second, right? So, you know, once I took the mask off, it probably did me no good to put it back on again, right? I mean, if it's off, it's off. If you were, you know, I could have gotten infected and that was it. I put the mask back on. Who knows? But as I said, I didn't feel any symptoms after any of those shows. After any of those occurrences on the 4th and the 5th and on the 8th. And the only time I really felt any kind of sick symptom was, as I said before, on the 15th, which was after I may have been exposed to somebody during the play. So I don't know if I, you know, was exposed to COVID at those three major events on the 4th and the 5th and the 8th. I know I was exposed certainly during the play sometime because several people in the play came down with COVID. So I'm not sure, but I, you know, just to be on the record, I was not as diligent as I should have been. And at the same time, maybe I let my guard down because I felt, well, you know, maybe, you know, it's been 2 years and I have not caught it. Even when I didn't catch it, even when, you know, there was no vaccine. And so here we are, I've been, you know, vaccinated and boosted. And so, and I've, you know, been going out in restaurants with people that are in the same situation, but not with 20,000 people, right? And you're still at your table. And even when we've gone to restaurants, not a lot, but a few times, that when the waiter came by, we would put our mask on. But when we're at the table with friends that we knew were vaccinated, we had the masks off. So there was certainly, I was taking the mask off a little more in public than I had over the last 2 years. But at the same time, I felt fairly confident because of my vaccination status of not only the double vax, but the booster. And as I said, I went to those three concerts and did not have any symptoms whatsoever, did not feel sick at all after any of those. Usually they say, what, 2 or 3 days after you may have been exposed, you'll begin to show. So when I look back at the at those incidents, I don't believe that, even though I had my mask off, I don't believe I contracted it at any of those shows. So I come home on Thursday, and now my wife, you know, has taken a couple of tests, and she actually took pictures of the test to show. The first test she took, there was a faint line. And I said, well, you know, there's been a lot of false positives. Why don't you take another test? And then when she took the second test, it was very, the positive line for on these tests. I don't know if you've ever taken any of these rapid tests at home. But in the little window, there's two lines. And there's the control and the sample. And the control line is always there. And the sample line is the one that will decide whether you are negative or positive. If there is no line near the sample area, then you are negative. If there's just a control line, one line, you are negative. If there are two little lines that develop after 15 minutes or so after you put your sample in there, then you are positive. The control line should always be there. And then the question is, does the sample line, the sample area have a line in it or not? So if two lines appear, you are positive for COVID. If the sample line is clear and there's only the one line, the control line, you are negative. And even if the line is very faint, maybe it's not as bold as that control line, but as long as there is some kind of a line or just a hint of a line or the faintest of a line in that sample area that would create the second line, you are considered positive for COVID. And as I said, so she took the first one. It was very faint. So I said, you know, that first one looks a little faint. I could see there's a line there, but it's very, so you never know. I take another one. Thankfully, we had bought a few tests just to have around. And we got a couple, you know, I signed up for those government tests, and they sent those. So we had enough tests. I said, we've got the tests, so that's why we got them, right? What are we going to save them? Use them. Let's go. We got a question here. And she said when she took the second one, that second line just was there even before the control line. So she's like, no. That's, and she sent me a picture. She's like, I've got it. So I'm like, wow, okay. And she's been quarantined anyway. She's been working from home. She hasn't been going out very much at all. I've been doing most of the shopping and things like that. So it was kind of strange as to when she got it, but she did go out that one day, as we said, right before she was feeling the day before. So who knows if, even though she was masked, you never know. I mean, these masks are supposed to, you know, be a deterrent, but they're not 100%. And she was out in a grocery store with a lot of people, and who knows, you know, touching things or breathing things, you never know. So she definitely had it. And so then I came home on Thursday, and once again, not feeling any symptoms whatsoever. Just a little nasal congestion. Now the throat was fine. No, I mean, a little laryngitis still, you know, a little hoarse, but nothing, you know, like I had. And no pain whatsoever. And once again, never shortness of breath, never any kind of tightness in the chest or, you know, hurting like your chest hurts or something. Nothing. No fever. Never had a fever, which I would think would be a main symptom, because if you've got an infection, you know, a fever is a symptom of your body fighting off some kind of an infection, some kind of a virus. That's how you know you're sick, right? That's the definition. Never had a fever. And when I had the sore throat, I was taking my temperature. I was 98.6, 98.4, 97.9, the loop. You know, so I would not even, not only did I not have a fever, I was even under, you know, 98.6. So that's why I was fairly confident that I did not have it. And the tests on the Monday and Tuesday showed I didn't have it. So why take another one? I had the sore throat, and it went away in 2 days. Never had a fever. Didn't have any of the other symptoms, so whatever. But I said, well, I was in the house, though, when she was feeling kind of sick. She thought she was just having the cold that I had that had gone away, in my mind. So when I came home on Thursday, first thing I did was I took a test. Once again, feeling fine. And much to my shock and surprise, there was a faint line by the sample. There was a faint line. So I'm like, well, this can't be right. It was very faint, very faint. Once again, we couldn't even see it. We took a picture of it, and only with the picture could you faintly see that line, but it was there. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to take another one because I'm not feeling anything. This doesn't make any sense. And I've been gone these 2 days when you were feeling the worst, and I haven't felt anything in a week. So I told you, I took my last test on the 15th. Of February. And now this was, you know, February 25th, 10 days later, not feeling any symptoms since maybe the 18th, not feeling any sore throat or anything for a week. So how could I have this? And I tested negative on the 15th and the 14th. So here on the 25th is this, oh yeah, no, 24th. Sorry, Thursday the 24th. Here's this this faint line. So I'm shocked because I'm a relatively, you know, healthy person to begin with. So anytime there's something wrong, I never believe it. My body doesn't get sick. So I took another test and sure enough, very faint, could barely see it, but there was a line there. And I'm like, son of a bee. So my wife, ironically, had a video chat with her doctor on that Thursday. Because I was assuming, and I was even saying, well, you know, I'm going to take the test just for the heck of it. I'm negative for COVID, but I wonder if I should be wearing a mask around the house in front of you, you know, around you now until you're done with this. And then, of course, I didn't need to because here I was positive, as faint as this test was. And I don't know if you've ever taken one of these tests, but if you've taken the test, you know what I'm talking about with the control and the sample. And they show you in the directions that even if the line is faint, that is considered positive. You know, you have to have that sample area has to be completely clear for you to be negative. Just one line. There was definitely a faint line. As much as I didn't believe it and was angry that it was there because I wasn't feeling anything, it was there. So we got on the video chat with the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you know, because she's our doctor. She's both of our doctors. And so the doctor said, well, you know, he should probably have a mask on. I said, well, I was going to have a mask on, except I just tested positive. And when I explained my story to her, she was under the belief that, in fact, when I had the sore throat, that probably I did have it. Now, I still find that interesting because that was, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, and my wife didn't feel sick until Sunday or Monday of the next week. So and we were around each other. So why wouldn't she have gotten it sooner than that? Why wouldn't she have shown symptoms until almost 4 or 5 days later when I had it? If I had it? And I said, I never had a fever. I never had anything else. I never had shortness of breath. I had this sore throat, and it was pretty severe on Thursday especially, but then it went away on Friday, and I haven't felt a thing since. She said, well, you know, that's what's crazy about this disease. It affects, you know, this virus. It affects everyone differently. But she said, you probably had it then. I'm like, wow, okay. But, you know, she didn't catch it until Sunday. You're telling me that I had it on, you know, that I was contagious. I had this thing, you know, on Wednesday and Thursday. That's 4 days later, regardless. So she said, you know what? Today's Thursday. Take a test on Saturday. And, you know, you should probably, because that'll be your 10th day. You'll probably be done on Saturday. But, you know, stay quarantined, you know, and take a test on Saturday. I'm sure you'll probably be gone. It'll be done. Okay, fine. Once again, not feeling anything. Wait till Saturday. Take the test on Saturday. And don't you think that faint line is still there? I can't believe it. I'm like, what are we talking about here? I don't feel anything. I haven't felt anything in almost 2 weeks. How could I still have this faint line? So I was really now, and once again, it wasn't even a question of, we weren't doing anything. I mean, we couldn't go anywhere anyway. We weren't going to go anywhere anyway. It was cold out, and it was a weekend we're going to stay in. So, I mean, it wasn't like we didn't have any plans. Nothing was happening. Although we were supposed to meet with some friends on Friday. We obviously had to cancel that because my wife tested positive. I mean, we both tested positive, right? I mean, I still was in denial, even though this faint line now happened 3 times. But so then on Monday, I took another test because I'm like, okay, I'm going to take another, now 2 days later, I'm going to take another one here. And finally, on Monday and Tuesday of this, of last week, when you're hearing this now, completely clear, no faint lines. And so I was negative again. I still don't know whether I had it or not. And I still don't know when I had it. Now, my wife is still feeling the effects of it. She took a test. I took a test on February 28th and March 1st and was negative. She took one on February 28th and was still positive. March 1st. And was still positive. And we thought she'd be done by then because it was a week. And she's still feeling the effects of it. Not as severe, but every day seems to be a little, sometimes a little better, and then gets worse with, her chest and her throat. So she's still feeling the effects. I tested positive twice, and I haven't had symptoms, you know, in almost 2.5 weeks. So I'm fairly confident that I went through it. And then the other side of when I had this, or if I had this, obviously I had it, but I don't know when I was contagious because I was in New York with a friend to see the Elton John concerts, and we were sharing a hotel room. And we were not wearing masks when we were in the hotel room. And we went to lunch and dinner and walked around. And so as soon as I was positive, I texted him and said, hey, just so you know, he knew that my wife had it. He was there when I got the message, so I said, just so you know, I took a test and I'm positive. So you better take a test when you get home. And he took tests, and he was always negative. So I was with him for 2 days when apparently I had it, unless I got it on the plane home. I don't know. But I was in a room with this guy, sharing a room, talking, you know, in restaurants, and he never got it. So I am still a little baffled as to when I got it, how I got it, and yes, if I had it, I'm still questioning it. Now, if you've taken one of these tests, you know, I don't know if you've been negative or positive, but if you take the test, it's a very interesting test. I took three different kinds of tests, three different companies. I took the Binax test, the Binax Now, which I think is an Abbott test, the iHealth test, which are the two that came from the government that they sent, and then I had another one, CareStart. So I took three different brands of tests because I did not trust these. Now this, I'm getting, you know, all I have to say is they all basically work the same. Some are a little more complex than the others. I like the Binax Now one. It seems easier to do. The other two had these vials and you had to pour this into there and then stir this and pour that into here. It was a couple extra steps that just seemed a little, at the end of the day, it takes 3 minutes to do this thing. But I'm just telling you that I seem to like the Binax one. The Binax Now test seemed to be a little quicker. You just put six little drops in the thing. You use the swab. You stick it in this little holder with some adhesive, and then it almost looks like a lollipop. Have you seen these things? It's like the COVID lollipop. And the other ones have like this little strip that you put the drops in and your sample in, and that just, it looks almost like a home pregnancy test. But the Binax Now one by Abbott, it almost looks like a little lollipop. And the lollipop one, well, all three of them showed that faint line. So I guess I had it, but I'm baffled as to how I had it. I must not have had a severe case when I did have it because I didn't pass it on to my friend. And maybe I was just carrying it at that time. Maybe I wasn't contagious anymore. I don't know. I've got some questions. I really want to talk to a doctor and really see what they think, you know, because even my doctor, it was, you know, kind of on the fly over the phone, and, you know, she was more, you know, interested in my wife's because I wasn't feeling any symptoms. But I'd really love to know what just happened here. But definitely, if you haven't, have those tests at home, because this obviously is still very out there and it's contagious. And I have to tell you, I was so happy when I got those, when it was clear again. I was like, okay, at least now this verifies what I'm feeling. But it just goes to show you how crazy this virus is aside from this sore throat that was only a couple of days there, severe to some extent that one day, but went away very quickly and didn't have any other symptoms and haven't had symptoms since. So COVID is real. I had an interest. Of course, I had an interesting case, right? Yeah, you know, my wife is still struggling through it. Not hospitalized at all, thankfully. So once again, the vaccine worked. I mean, she's having a tougher time than I had, but she's not being hospitalized. I had a very, I mean, aside from a sore throat, which I've had before, I didn't have any symptoms. I didn't pass it on to my friend, so I feel good about that. But it just goes to show you how crazy this is. But it just goes to show you how contagious it is, and even with two vaccinations and a booster, everybody's lifting these mask mandates, but I'm not. I told you before, the last 2 years, I will be wearing a mask for a long time, and I'm still wearing double masks when I go to the grocery store. And, you know, any kind of a large event, I am going to keep that mask on because I don't want to get this again, because now I've proven that even though I've been double vaxxed and boosted, you can get it. Even though it was very faint, I may have had one
one little droplet or something in my nose. I don't know. These lines were so faint. And I felt like I failed the test. Because I guess I did, right? But oh my gosh, I was so happy when the clear one came, especially 2 days in a row. But it was so faint. But it just goes to show you how unpredictable and how you just never know. But you also have to be very cognizant of how you are feeling. And that's the takeaway for me too moving forward, is I'm going to be much more aware of what my body is telling me from now on. I guess I should have thought of, I mean, I don't know. I guess when I had the sore throat, I guess that would be the only thing. When I had the sore throat for 2 days, even though I tested positive the 2 days before that, I guess when I had the sore throat, I should have taken another test just out of curiosity. But after taking two in a row, I just felt like, and being negative, I felt, I just have a sore throat. I mean, I guess if I hadn't had the play where I was taxing my voice, because that was the only symptom I have. Once again, I told you, no fever, no shortness of breath, no pain in the chest, no nothing, no respiratory problems, just a sore throat. If I hadn't been in that play where I was taxing my voice, And I have had colds and laryngitis after a play in the past, so it just seemed like, well, I got a cold. That's the only thing I can think of, because aside from that, I don't know when I would have been exposed. I certainly let my guard down a week and a half before that and never got any symptoms. And even when supposedly I had it, I didn't have symptoms. While I had it, while I was testing positive, I was not having any symptoms. So did I have it with the sore throat, or did I have it later, a week and a half later? Did I catch it in New York? I don't know. Did I catch it on the plane? I don't know. So a lot of questions. I'm still, when people ask me, did you ever have COVID? I am going to say yes, with extenuating circumstances. There, to me, there's an asterisk next to did you ever have COVID? I'm going to have to say there's an asterisk. Even though, and if you've taken these tests, and I would urge you to take one just to take it. You know, go and get the free ones from the government. Just take one, just for your state of mind, just so you can see the process and experience it. And hopefully you'll be negative. But, you know, and who knows? You might get a surprise diagnosis like I did. So, yes, I believe I had COVID, and yet I don't believe I have COVID. I don't know if that's possible. Can you be sort of pregnant? I don't know. Can you be sort of COVID or not? But I'm grateful that hopefully I didn't pass on to my friend. I'm hoping I didn't pass on to my wife. I don't think I did, because I don't know if I had it then. Somewhere along the line, I got it. It did not affect me seriously at all. And if this sore throat was the only symptom I had, it was just 2 days, and you know, it hurt, but it wasn't unbearable. One day it was a little, you know, like I said, I woke up in the middle of the night. But I just thought I had a sore throat from the, you know, from the play, and I caught a cold. So what I'm saying to you is, if you've been vaccinated, and if you've been boosted, and if you are diligent, you can still get COVID. I know you're tired of this. I know you've got fatigue. I know you want to get back to normal. I know you don't want to wear a mask everywhere you go in the public. But it's possible. My wife has been quarantined and masked in public, and she got it, and she's had a little tougher time. I was exposed over a week and a half period between the play and these concerts, and I'm being on a plane and in an airport, so yes, I was certainly in places where I was not wearing a mask. But I had been in places before without a mask over the last couple of months, because of my vaccinations. So we can see that everybody's telling us to take masks off. I don't know if that's really the message, because I was believing that too. And I got it. And I got it when the surge was on its way down, not in its peak, but on its way down, I got it. So it just goes to show you, it takes a second. So everybody's taking off their masks. We think this is over with. I don't know. Speaking from personal experience, even though thankfully I had a very, if I did have it, and I obviously did, can't you hear me? I'm still in denial. yes, I had it. Okay, I'll admit I had it. But thankfully, the vaccine must have worked because I had very mild symptoms, even though I had this sore throat. If that was it, I don't know if that was it, though. That was a week before. I mean, that seems to be, you had the sore throat, right? But I wasn't lethargic. I didn't have a fever. I didn't have any pains. Or I didn't have a shortness of breath. And that was a week before. It was 10 days before I tested positive. 9 or 10 days before. So I don't know if that sore throat really was COVID. A lot of mystery here. But yes, as faint as the line was, I guess I had COVID. But I'm still going to put that asterisk there. All I'm saying is, be smart. Stay safe. Take a test. We're still not out of the woods yet. And if you get it, I hope you get a mild case like I had. I think. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com. Or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, your job doesn't end there just by listening. Get out there, send a message, send a link to your friends and family and tell them that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 302. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen. I still don't believe I had it. Okay, I did, but the line was so faint.